Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 30, kicking off in Dublin, Ireland. And what is, we must paint the picture, a beautiful Irish afternoon. My man, Al McGrath, tell me about this, because I'll tell you what, it's been terrible up to this point. It's been cold, it's been rainy, it's been cloudy. Today, I mean, we're actually seeing the sun as we sit here at the Gibson Hotel, the host hotel, right next to the Three Arena, just right behind you, hanging out, a couple of pints of Guinness in hand. This is a beautiful day.
Yeah, man, I don't know what's going on. I walked past you earlier on. We were running around here, going back and forth in the media room, and the sun was in my eyes. And, you know, they're a bit sore now still, to be honest with you. We haven't seen sun in quite some time. So, yeah, no, great day. I pity the news isn't so good with some of the fights. But all the same, you can't argue when you're having a pint of Guinness here.
You can't. I mean, you warned me coming in. You say, listen, the weather's going to be terrible. The weather is not terrible. It's actually pretty good. But as you said, the news is pretty rough. Let's just start right there. Devastating lineup change. I mean, losing the main and the co-main event in the matter of about 10 days or so. Certainly losing the main event on fight week. Give us the feel from an Irishman's perspective. I mean, this is a hotbed of mixed martial arts. Yeah. Certainly, you know, Conor McGregor is a lot to credit that. But what are the fans saying? What is the feeling of the Irish MMA fan knowing that this card got gutted through no fault of the UFC? That this card got gutted.
Yeah, it's major disappointment from what we've heard today. I think there's been a few requests for refunds, which is, you know, it's not the best scenario in the world. But if you look at it from a fighter's point of view and from Joe Duffy's point of view and a fighter's safety, you know, it's paramount that the guys are looked after first and foremost. Concussion, head injuries especially, you can't mess with it. So it's just really, really unfortunate, especially, you know, being in the Dublin market for the UFC. But the one thing I'll get back to, and I've said on my show many a times, John, you know, the UFC are going to have to do something about these European cards. You know, maybe even the main card, bulk them up a little bit stronger just so there's that level of depth. So the just in case, this scenario was, you know, it's been knocking on the door to happen for quite some time. So, you know, they'll have to look at that next year. I think it happened in Sweden last year, you know, in October. The fans didn't really show up. And that's what's going to happen in other markets if they don't really sort of look at it. But it's just really disappointing that the guys are out. No disrespect to Paddy Hill and Louis Smolka, but it isn't, you know, it's not a headline. It's not a main event fight. You know, Paddy, I think, was fighting first on the card last year. It just shows you the turnaround and the way things have gone. But, yeah, unfortunate. There's not much we can do. The fans are very disappointed, a lot of them. But the one good thing I will say is we know about Paddy. You know, the hardcore MMA fans, which I think this card has been more aimed to, have really bought the tickets and sold into it. So I reckon we'll still get a good, you know, we'll get a good bang and a good atmosphere in there on Saturday night.
I was going to say, because I was fortunate enough to be here last year and the atmosphere was insane. Yeah. I mean, literally one of the best atmospheres for a UFC event ever. Was kind of wondering what to expect going in, even without all the changes. I was kind of wondering because it's not Conor McGregor in the main event. It's not. So I was wondering, like, are they going to show up in force? And now with these latest hits, I will say, talking today to Paddy,
yeah,
I mean, that guy is on. I mean, he feels like it's his destiny. Like, this was meant for him. But what can we expect from the crowd, do you think? I mean, is it going to be that same boisterous type of insane atmosphere we had last year?
I think so, yeah. You know, a lot of the local guys are on it. We've Ash, we've Paddy, we've Cahill. We still have a core there of Irish fighters. And as I mentioned, I don't think this fight has ever really hit into the mainstream media here because it's not Conor McGregor.
Right.
That's been the bit of the struggle in Ireland, that anything that's not related to Conor McGregor hasn't really sold into the mainstream media in relation to mixed martial arts. But I think just the fight itself, the stylistic matchup, and a guy who's beaten Conor McGregor in the past, in Joseph Duffy, intrigued people enough to really be excited about the event. And everyone here knew about Dustin because Conor defeated Dustin last year, and they know that Joe's beaten Conor. So it was just, that was the big draw, you know, for Joseph Duffy and Dustin Poirier. But listen, the guys are going to show out in force on Saturday night, and you know, I know there's been a few refunds as we mentioned there, but you know, I expect them to be snapped up by the other guys who didn't get tickets originally.
That's right.
So fingers crossed, and you know, an Irish crowd, and you know, listen, we're noisy wherever we are. It might be as loud as last year, but it's going to be loud. I guarantee you that.
I'm looking forward to it. You mentioned Joseph Duffy, and I think what you said to start off is right. I mean, fighter safety is paramount, especially when it comes to these, you know, brain injuries and things that we're learning about concussions. The educated hardcore fan, I think, will understand that. But let me ask you, the casual fan, what's the word on Joseph Duffy? I've seen a statement on Instagram. Mm. I saw that. Mm. That's about all I've seen. I know I tried to track him down for an interview. I'm sure you did the same. I can understand why he wouldn't want to speak to the media right now. But I mean, what do you think? Will people understand? Does the casual Irish fan understand what happened here? Or do you think there's going to be like a grudge or resentment? Because, I mean, Connor's already been taking shots at the guy, calling him Canadian Joe, and then the whole brown panty night and all those things. So what do you think? I mean, is Joseph Duffy, is he going to be able to recover from this and move past this, or does he owe the Irish people something?
I don't think he owes the Irish people anything. You know, a head injury, you have to look after yourself. You know, it's a short game, it's a short career. And the thing in Ireland as well, we've had a lot of issues recently with rugby concussions. Mm. So, you know, hopefully the mainstream audience and the MMA fan will pick up on that. The hardcore MMA fan will know exactly about the head injuries in the game. But I think on the general mainstream level, people will understand that because some of the stuff with the rugby has come to light. With Johnny Sexton, one of our rugby stars here recently, say he played a whole game for Ireland in the World Cup a number of years ago, fully concussed with a concussion. So it's those sort of things where people must really realize, it's paramount to realize that head injuries are, you know, it's, you know, you're looking, you have to think about your future as a fighter. You know, as I mentioned there, you're not in the game for a long time. So Joe owes the people nothing here. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances. It's the fight game. It's not tiddlywinks, things like that. You know what I mean? These guys are proper elite level athletes who are going out and fighting for a living. That's right. As simple as that, mate.
What did you think about Connor's tweet, the whole brown panty night? Obviously, as you mentioned, it's been interesting to me to watch, because when Joseph Duffy first came into the UFC, I felt like he was trying to distance himself from the first fight. He didn't want anything to do with it. Now I think he's starting to embrace, like, you know what, we're going to fight at some point. I think we're going to fight. What did you take from Connor's tweet? Was it tasteless? Was it too much? Or is it just Connor being Connor, setting up a fight and maybe, you know, building some business, basically?
I think it's a little bit of both, really, because Connor seems to be very – I spoke with Joseph last week, and I asked him the question about, you know, is it more Connor's frustration that he's lost to you than – obviously you haven't really engaged in the warfare yet? And he goes, you know, that's exactly it. It's, it's, you know, I'm not thinking about Connor at the moment, because both guys have a lot to do in their respective divisions. You know, Joe, if he'd have won this fight on Saturday night, obviously would have elevated himself into the top 15. You know, he's two or three more fights to possibly get into, you know, a title contender's position in the division. You know, Connor has Jose come up. There's so many situations to play out. But, you know, Connor's always thinking of the future. He's always looking at selling a fight as well. So I think there's a little bit of both. I don't think it was the time and place to do it because of the situation that was a head injury. But listen, you know, that's another part of the fight game. You have to sell fights down the line. And the fact that Joseph have beaten Connor in the past surely must get under Connor's skin a little bit. And I think we saw that at the World Media Day, the Media Day in Las Vegas, where, you know, he turned around to Connor and Joseph didn't really engage. Just that calm, cool attitude that Joseph, you know, his mannerisms, the way he conducts himself. So, you know, listen, let's just hope Joe gets back to full fitness first. You know, hopefully the head injury isn't as serious as, well, it's obviously, it's a mild concussion, but any head injury is serious, any sort of head trauma. But let's hope this fight happens down the line, because it would be one down the line to see, maybe 16 months down the line or something.
I agree, man. I wanted to see this fight so bad. I mean, on paper, it's just a fantastic fight. And, man, head injuries are so weird. I mean, look at where TJ Grant is.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, TJ Grant had a title shot.
Yeah, man.
And he catches a knee in a grappling session where you would not expect to be struck, and now the guy's gone.
We don't know what's happening with TJ. So it's just one of these things that, you know, you have to be very, very careful with. And you know, I think we're aware enough here with the rugby, and I don't even want to talk about rugby after last weekend. But
all I heard is terrible.
It's a fight that would really, you know, intrigue a nation, and you know, Connor's a world draw now, and if Joe can bet back in the octagon at UFC 195 against Dustin and possibly win that fight, it really sets something up for the fans down there. And the one thing about Joe as well, Joe stepped away from mixed martial arts, and he really he shored up his game with the boxing, and we've seen how good a striking is compared to what it was, you know, in Cage Warriors, and you know, all around, he's a quality fighter.
How about the flip side of the equation? Because Dustin Poirier, it came out that Norman Park essentially said, I'll step up and take the fight. Of course, that would have left Reza Madadi without a fight, and it would have done some things. But still, I had a chance to catch up with Dustin Poirier last night and really appreciate it. But it was weird because it felt like he was still even debating within himself, was he doing the right thing? I mean, there were other fights on the table. There were other possibilities. But, you know, he said, listen, I've got to think about my career. I've got to think about my future. And it's weird because I've talked to a couple fans today, and on the one side, you're like, you're right, Dustin. I mean, your window in this sport is only so big. You know, you've got to cash in when you can. You don't want to lose it. But on the other hand, it's like, this is a fist fight. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to take all comers. You're supposed to be the alpha male that says, I'll fight, whatever. So what do you think? Knowing it's unfortunate that Duffy was out, can't blame Duffy for that. Poirier saying, I'm not taking anybody else. I'm just going to sit out when we schedule this. Do you respect that, or do you look at him and go, God, come on, man, you got to step up?
No, man, I respect that completely, you know, because I think the thing with Dustin is, as well, a lot of people don't realize, I think this was his last fight in his UFC contract, which, you know, you take a short notice fight against someone like Norman Park, who could be fighting for his, for his career on Saturday night because of the recent UFC cuts. You know, he's had a lot of razor-tight decision losses, but, you know, Dustin can't jeopardize his career like that, because I think we're going to see a lot of changes next year. A lot of guys going to different promotions with Bellator. You know, I think we spoke about it a little bit last week when you were on my show, John, and I think that could be really the thing that's going to happen next year. Guys like Benson Henderson, guys, if Dustin was to lose, you know, on Saturday night, he'd be a gatekeeper. He's not getting a title shot anytime soon in the lightweight division. That's why he moved up, is to make a run at the title. You know, so in hindsight, you know, he might look back, he might have regrets, he might have wanted, obviously you want to get in there and you know, and throw down, but you know, sometimes you gotta look at the future, and I think that's what Dustin has done. It was probably too much of a risk to go in there with Norman or take another replacement. He said he still wants Joseph Duffy in January, so at the end of the day, you know, I think he rang his management company, is that right, to have a little chat with them as well. So, you know, you have to take everything into consideration. I'm sure it wasn't a decision he took lightly. Just, you know, unfortunate, mate. And listen, fair play to Dustin for wanting to fight Joseph again. I think it's a great stylistic matchup and a really exciting one.
I love it too, man. I hope it comes together, because I feel like we were going to learn so much about both guys. You know, which one was really going to be ready for that next year. And crazy that Dustin Poirier is still 26 years old with all that he's accomplished already.
It's crazy.
And nuts. So what does this do overall? What does this do for Irish MMA? Because I, obviously, I'm fortunate enough, I get to travel around, I get to see a lot of places, and I've seen markets that are like, you know, let's not forget, at one time, Canada was the mecca of mixed martial arts, and now they don't even get shows anymore. Sweden was like, we're going to sell out, you know, and now it's, you know, when you have a bad show here or there, you come too frequently or whatever, it changes things. So is this going to be a negative impact? As you said, it's kind of designed for the hardcore fan anyway, but is this going to have a negative blow on Irish mixed martial arts?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see. It's, you know, Saturday is probably going to be the, you know, we're going to get to judge that statement, whether it's going to be a high or a low for Irish mixed martial arts. But if you look down the line and you look what's happened, you know, with Conor, it's been nothing short of sensational. His rise in 2 years. I think what the UFC were trying to do with Joseph Duffy is get another guy, another really marketable Irish guy. If he was to win, you know, if he was here on Saturday night, you know, that's a guy that's, as we said before, beaten Conor McGregor. It's a guy who they can really stack on that mantle and sell that fight in a couple of years' time. But I think for the hardcore, no, it won't damage. But, you know, it gets back to the other question, you know, the European cards. They're going to have to really do something to bump. Because this has been, you know, this has been knocking on the door, going to happen a long time, John. The co-main and main event, the original two fights at the top of this card were sensational fights, really exciting fights. But lower down, it was, you know, and we've had other fights fall out on European cards this year. Some of the cards haven't been the strongest thing in the world. And I think, you know, what might happen is the fans just won't be willing to pay that money to go to take the risk with those tickets and come watch watered down fight cards. Go back to Sweden as well last year. They might do something, you know, early next year to make up to the Irish. I know they're going to London in February, but, you know, on a general level, as long as Conor's around, it's not going to do damage for mixed martial arts on the mainstream level.
That's true.
And then you have your guys, hopefully, that will show up on Saturday night that are, like, going to support any Irish fighter that's in the octagon. So, you know, fingers crossed, and let's hope everyone gets along on Saturday night.
If we look off into the distance, we can see Croke Park. Yeah, just off to the end. That's a big question mark, right? I mean,
no.
Supposedly. So it's just no. It's just not, it's
no.
Because obviously, Conor has said if he wins the belt that he's been told he could fight there. But we know there's ordinance issues. There's all kinds of problems.
So many issues, John.
So if we had to put a bet down right now, your guess is no, it never happens.
No. No, it doesn't happen because, as you mentioned there's all sorts of issues. There's curfew issues, there's residential issues around there. The UFC have their whole production set up to bring in. I think it takes 4 days to get into Croke Park. And I think the limit, a company or someone who's renting the Croke Park venue has 4 days in total. We saw the Garth Brooks issue last year.
The Garth Brooks issue, yeah.
So, in my book, and because of the US pay-per-view market as well, you know, how long has Dana talked about doing a stadium show in Dallas and places like that as well? It hasn't happened yet. It's obviously more likely to happen in the US with the time difference. It's just for me, not at the moment. Connor's a US fighter. That really is as simple as that.
Yeah, he's definitely not fighting in this building again unless he loses about five fights in a row.
No chance. It's not going to happen.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, the Reebok t-shirt. Obviously, we could sit here and talk about that for a long time, but help me understand, because I'm assuming that a lot of people listening are probably like me. I woke up in the morning, I saw the tweets that were coming out, and I was a little bit confused that people were offended, because I thought Ireland and Northern Ireland don't really dig each other so much, you know what I mean? So for Irish people to be like, oh, Northern Ireland's not on there, I thought they'd be like, well, F them, who cares about them anyway? So help me understand, like, I know it may sound silly, you know, dumb American here with his cold beer and his shorts and 50-degree weather. But, I mean, why was this? Because it was obvious. I mean, every opinion I saw was like, holy shit, I can't believe this atrocity.
I just think it's because we've always, you know, there's a lot of other sports. We've rugby, you know, our Olympic sports. We fight as one nation, one team. And I think when people sort of saw that, sometimes they take offense at it, because a lot of people obviously, you know, in the southern part of Ireland still just go, oh, you know, Ireland, it's one. You'd refer to Ireland as Ireland. We don't really, you know, say Northern Ireland or Northern Irish on a general level. You know, we're quite proud and sort of seen, you know, a hole cut out of our koala nation, I think, really put under, got under a lot of people's skin. You know, it's just one of these things. You know, Reebok probably should have done a little bit more research, and I know they've pulled a lot of their other fight gear as well, right. So there's been a huge amount of issues with it. I just think, you know, people were generally annoyed, but I just think it goes back to the whole level of, you know, we're proud as a nation regardless, because we do a lot of other team sports.
And it was probably just some graphic designer sitting in another continent somewhere that had no idea.
It looks
idea.
Like a jigsaw, like this, where it's missing a piece. That's the way you would feel, because, you know, you watch any, you see any other, you know, Irish logo or symbol, you just see the whole island of Ireland, not just the southern part of Ireland.
Right.
So.
You know, was the outrage justified then, you think?
A little bit, I would agree.
Yeah. Fight card, we lost the main, we lost the co-main, so let me just ask you, whether it be an Irish fighter, whether it be somebody else, what are you looking most for? Is there one fight in particular, whether it be because of a story you heard, of a matchup you care about, of a ranking? I mean, this is, as you said, I mean, this is for casual fans are going to skip over this card. So is there one particular fight that you're looking forward to the most?
There's two or three fights, but I'm going to go at one. I think it's, you know, two unbeaten guys. We've seen Nicholas Dalby here, obviously, in the Cage Warriors scene, former Cage Warriors welterweight champion. We have a guy in Darren Till who's moved from Liverpool over to Brazil. You know, he's fought all his pro fights in Brazil. It's crazy for a 22-year-old. He's gone 13-0. And he's a crazy story as well, his background. I believe he was stabbed a number of years ago, had to go out to Brazil, was told by his coach to go out there, change his lifestyle. And he's really grasped that. He is one of these guys as well that the UK need to embrace, because he's a guy you can kick on. We saw his debut in Brazil, those vicious elbows, that Muay Thai, that stand-up. And, you know, Nicholas Dalby's that really good grinding style of fighter. We've seen him in Cage Warriors when he was world champion there. I think it's a fascinating stylistic matchup, and both guys are pretty young guys, both unbeaten, and I think something's got to give on Saturday night. And I do fancy Darren Till. I think him going out there as predominantly a striker and going to Brazil, you know, grappling with some of, you know, the best guys in the world out there, you know, improving his jiu-jitsu and his ground game, I think that's going to be the difference, along with the Muay Thai. I just think it can go anywhere for him, and I just think that is a really, really exciting fight.
Agree, man. We were just talking earlier. I think that's one that people are overlooking.
Definitely.
And understandably 100%. So. They're not two well-known names, but it's two guys that both
and
have shown
I think a lot of
promise.
People are very high on Darren Till in Brazil. He gets a lot of coverage with Combat and Globo over there as well. So, you know, and he's a really sort of vibrant, interesting, confident young gentleman as well. So, you know, he's one that a few wins there, I could really get some good marketing behind him.
Very cool, man. Well, our Guinness are, you know, they're getting a little flat, they're getting a little warm, so we better power these down. And I am starving. I have not eaten all day. We did media day earlier.
Chief, drink there. You're fine. You don't need
anything. Yeah. We're going to run over
soup.
To Cheeky Nando's,
We call the Guinness soup.
That's it right there, right?
There. That's it, man.
That's all you need. Awesome, brother. Well, hey, let me just say thank you. Thank you for being a fantastic host to us. Always love coming to Dublin.
It's only gonna get better tonight.
I hope this doesn't impact Irish MMA, because I want to keep coming every year. This place is awesome.
It won't. The guys get back. John, absolute pleasure. Anytime, brother. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. I got my man, the young Mike Bond, is with me today. Mike, you just finished booking a flight to Brazil. You're now going to be in Sao Paulo in a couple of weeks, so I guess I'll get to see you again in South America. It's been a hell of a year for you, man. You've been gallivanting around the globe a little bit.
It has, and thanks to you for, you know, allowing me to come on these opportunities. It's been great. You know, this trip right now, it's the fourth continent in 3 months, which is, you know, a lot of traveling. I know next month you're doing 4 continents in 4 weeks.
My game
looks pretty amateur right now, but no, it's obviously awesome. This is, you know, one of the reasons why I'm sure we all got into this job is the ability to travel, see the world, and then, you know, the reward at the end of it is watching fights, which is what we love to do more than anything. So
absolutely,
you know, I'm very grateful. It's awesome, and you know, I'm happy to be here.
We know that the fights are have undergone a little bit of changes and that sort of thing, but before we get into that, let's just get your take on Dublin so far. You've had a chance to see a little bit of the town. We're gonna go see a little bit of it more here in a few minutes after we get all wrapped up, but first thoughts on Dublin, first thoughts on Ireland, first time here, yeah?
Yeah, it's, you know, feels a bit like home, you know, rainy, windy, kind of cold. We get the occasional break in the clouds, so, you know, I feel very much at home here. And but of course, it's got the European feel, you know, the smaller buildings, kind of the cobblestone roads, all those kind of things. So it's I've been to Europe before, and this feels, you know, very much like a European city. It's got that great vibe. All the people we've talked to are very nice. I try to understand them as best as possible, but no, it's been great. I've had an awesome time so far.
It gets way harder. Like, the more everybody drinks, the harder it is to understand everybody.
Yeah, it's not English anymore.
Well, obviously, we wouldn't have had the main and co-main event fall out in the past 2 weeks if we could have avoided it, but things happen. You know, we've kind of gone through what it means and why it was done and all those things, but let's talk about the new main event. What do you think about the new main event between Smoker, between Houlihan? I mean, it is an exciting fight. I think people were looking forward to it. So it's a very evenly matched fight, at least as I try to break it down and put a little bit of analysis and thought into it. It's a very evenly matched fight. Certainly not top guys in the division right now, but guys that have some promise. But just give me your thoughts. I mean, it's not a main event. It's just not.
No.
But it is what it is. It is our main event. Give me your thoughts on the fight itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's less so a main event, more so just happens to be the last fight of the night. And, you know, there is different ways to look at it. Flyweight division, people complain, you know, the UFC doesn't promote the flyweights, they don't give them opportunities, this, that, and the other, they're not building contenders for Demetrius Johnson, all this stuff. Okay, well, here you go. This is the first ever flyweight main event that doesn't have Demetrius Johnson in it. It's not a title fight, so these guys are getting exposure. So if you're on that side of the argument where you want to see this weight class get, you know, more opportunities, here we go. It came as a result of circumstance. It's not like the UFC put this out there as the main event to begin with, but it's still there. They're going to get, you know, that the rub. They're going to get the opportunity to, you know, really show that these guys, you know, we talked to Luis Smoka, said, what does a win here do for you? Does it put you in the top 10 title discussion? He was very honest with this position. You know, neither of them are ranked.
No.
They're, you know, they're not up there with the Henry Cejudos, the Joseph Benavidezes, you know, John Dodson's gone now, but that elite part of the weight class, but this is the stepping stone to get there. People always say, you know, they're putting guys in against Demetrius Johnson too soon. You know, not giving them chances to fight top-level competition. Well, it's a main event. These guys are going to be built up. They're not going to get a title fight next, but this is kind of the start of a winning streak. Maybe put 3, 4, 5 together. Then we'll see maybe a year, 2 years down the road, they could get that fight. So it's more, you know, it is a interesting fight, pretty evenly matched. I have a tough time picking it as well. I think they can both win. The atmosphere when Holohan walks out is going to be, you know, something special in its own right. So there is positives to take away. You know, we're here. We're covering the event regardless. So I am interested to see how it plays out. But, yeah, of course, it's disappointing. We've had, with this Joseph Duffy cancellation, we've now had 35 main or co-main event changes to the UFC schedule so far. 37 if you look forward to UFC 193, which had the co-main and main event change.
Right.
So it's you know, it seems like it's kind of natural at this point that, you know, fights fall through, but this one was just particularly devastating because it was their guy, it was, you know, the main event, and we were just so damn close to the fight happening.
I know, it's brutal when it happens on fight week. You said it's tough to pick. I haven't seen your staff picks. Obviously, we do staff picks every single week. Let me throw out my thoughts, and let me hear yours. So my thought originally was I picked Smolka coming in because we had to pick the fight before we knew it was the main event. It was on the main card. We picked it as a staff. I picked Smolka coming in just because I think his striking is a little bit – basically a more well-rounded fighter is the way I looked at it. A little bit better striking, probably a little bit better wrestling. Paddy obviously has a fantastic submission game. Got to be very careful with that. So I picked Smolka, and I'm still sticking with that because that was my pick going in. But I got to say, after the media day today, Paddy just seems like he's dialed in. Like, this is something special. Like, yes, everybody's disappointed and everybody's frustrated that this wasn't the main event, but now you got the guy who was, you know, the first fight of the night last time. He's just fired up to be here. And I feel like he's driven. Like, it's like he feels like it's his destiny. Like, he's coming in to go to battle. You know what I mean? And whereas Smolka, I think it was, we talked to him last night. He's like,
chill. Such a chill dude.
He's a Hawaiian, right? He's just chill and happy to be here. So I hate to pick a fight based on intangibles or say the reason I'm leaning is because a guy has motivation or a guy – it's like, dude, come on. That's not breaking down a fight. But I feel like sometimes in MMA that is breaking down a fight. Like when fights are really close, sometimes a guy that has a mental edge or a psychological or whatever, like that helps him. So, right here, right now, what's your take on the fight?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Holohan. He is the one I picked from the beginning, and I'm going to stick with it. I just think we haven't got to see his full potential yet in the UFC. You know, I think last year it was pretty close to it for the Dublin show. He opened the show, had a brilliant fight, won it in awesome fashion. But then it seems like the past couple fights, he's been the third or fourth string guy at SBG. The team has been separated. Coaches here, training partners there with Conor McGregor in the United States helping him prepare for Jose Aldo, then Chad Mendes. The team seems like it's been, a little bit split up at this point, and he hasn't got, sure. I was in Halifax for the show last October when he lost to Chris Kalaitis, who took the fight. He's like 36, took the fight on a week's notice and won. But, you could tell. I think Paddy's corner man was Aisling Daly. That's all he had. Not that she's, not capable, corner woman, I should say. Not that she's capable, but it's not.
It's not his team.
It's not his true coach. So now, he's the center of attention. He was always the last guy on the team that was going to fight on this card. And he's the one that, everyone's pushing. Connor's back in town. Gunnar Nelson is here. The whole team is here. And he's going to get, the best preparation that he's probably had so far of any UFC fight. So that's, an intangible that is very much a reality. This guy's going to come in. He's going to be mentally, physically prepared. The crowd is going to be, absolutely behind him, going to give him that extra boost. And, that's right there. Those are things that make me confident in picking him, especially in such a close fight. And, we got Luis coming all the way from Hawaii, which I believe is about an 18-hour trip coming over there. Massive change in time zone.
11-hour time difference, he was saying.
Yeah, so those are all very realistic things. Fighters always like to say, none of the stuff matters once the cage door closes. Once we're in there, all the stuff gets blocked out. But we don't actually know what it's like to be a fighter in the octagon, and I guarantee you some of those things are real. And Paddy just having all, it seems like everything is kind of stacked in his favor here, so I see him going out there. It would be a lot more interesting if it did get switched to five rounds, which I know Luis Smolka was pushing for, because we have seen Paddy gas out in pretty most of his UFC fights. So I think three rounds, benefits him. He's going to be able to go hard. I'm sure he's well-trained, well-prepared, and, like most flyweight fights, probably going to go the distance, and I see Paddy winning a decision.
It's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We should say that the international man of mystery, the one and only Mark Ratner, made a brief cameo appearance here in the background.
Yes, with his scarf.
Always a fantastic selection of scarves that he has available at his disposal. I do want to say I want to give the UFC some props. I know they get pooped on a lot, shit on a lot. They do. But I do want to say that it must have sucked for them to rule Joe Duffy out of this fight, man. And you know what? They're self-regulating here. There's no commission. They could have gotten around it. We don't have all the factors. We weren't in the meetings. We don't know the discussions. But I got to say, I do think the USC deserves a little bit of props for saying, we're going to pull the plug on this fight. We're not comfortable with the brain scan readings here. There was an obvious concussion. And we're going to make what is an awful decision for us financially because we're worried about fighter safety. And to me, man, I'm sorry. I mean, I think that does show a level of commitment, that what they're saying is true, that what they care about is true, that they did the right thing here.
Yeah, it's absolutely commendable. Everyone has 1,001 reasons to, you know, give the UFC shit about the kind of decisions they make from, you know, matchmaking. They do this thing and then they throw it back in our face by, you know, screwing Ben Rothwell over and booking Stipe Miocic against
Andre. Well, I was going to get to that.
So, you know, we'll talk about that later. But, you know, like, so there is things to be negative about, but when they do things right, we need to sit here and talk about it just as much as we should talk about the things that are wrong. And they made a great choice by pulling him out of the fight. They didn't have to do this in a self-regulated territory. They could have rolled the dice and allowed him to go in there, which, you know, obviously would have not been a wise decision, but you're telling me that there hasn't been, you know, more than a handful of UFC fighters that have probably gotten knocked out in training week or 2 weeks before their fights and go in there. We know for a fact it happened to Forrest Griffin before he fought Anderson Silva. So, you know, this stuff happens, and, you know, you also have to give Joseph Duffy credit for coming out and, you know, telling them and getting the proper medical testing that led to this withdrawal. Because, you know, a lot of fighters, I would say most fighters, would just keep this to themselves, go in there and make it happen. So I think Duffy deserves just as much credit as the UFC. This isn't easy for anyone. He loses out on a payday. He loses out on a main event, the biggest fight of his career, the one that could have catapulted him. And now, you know, he's got all these people. He's got Conor McGregor, you know, shitting on him on Twitter, putting him down, kicking him while he's already down. And it's just he didn't have to bring any of that himself. He could have went in there, maybe lost the fight, maybe won, rolled the dice, but he made the wisest decision for his longevity, his career, and his health, and that needs to be commended.
I agree. And you laid out the perfect segue as well, because as much as I want to praise the UFC, I got to say, the Ben Rothwell situation, I just don't understand it. I've told Ben Rothwell this, and I've told other people as well. There's a lot of times the UFC makes a decision where it's unpopular, but I sit back and I try to look at it from their point of view, and I think, okay, what were they thinking here? What was going on? Why did they make this decision? And usually I go, okay, I see what it was. This, you know, this is why it benefits them. This is why. I'm sorry. I do not understand this situation. For Stipe to fall out of this fight and then to book Stipe versus Arlovski and leave Rothwell out to dry.
And even the timing of the announcement, like,
I don't get
it. Keep it to yourselves at least until next week, because, you know, you have Ben here. He's doing media. He's clearly upset, you know, saying what he's saying. And they go out there and they, like, you know, rub it in his face even worse by putting, you know, Stipe against – he was supposed to fight on Saturday, and he's already booked for another fight. I can't think of any times off the top of my head where someone's pulled out of a fight and then being rebooked before, you know, the event was supposed to even happen where they fought. I can't remember that happening at all.
It's ridiculous. Well, why the guy that got hurt is the one getting rebooked, not the one that was chill and was here and was ready to fight. Yeah. And then, you know, they bring Andre Arlovski over here as a guest fighter, and that's cool. I mean, obviously former UFC heavyweight champion, very popular fighter. I understand why they brought him. But to me, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. While they're here, they're going to announce that Arlovski and Rothwell are fighting.
That seems the obvious play, right?
No. Arlovski's fighting Stipe.
And it just makes, I mean, the on top of, you know, it, Rothwell deserving the fight, it's a better fight, in my opinion, anyways, him versus Arlovski. And, you know, it's a more sellable fight. I mentioned this to you, you know, off the air, I believe, last night. We're going to go into UFC 195 fight week, you know, January 2nd, and our top four fighters are going to be Robbie Lawler, Carlos Condit, Andre Arlovski, and Stipe Miocic. All fantastic fighters, but not very media savvy, don't have a whole lot of things to say.
It's gonna
and
be tough.
Just, you know, have fun selling that event, especially, you know, on this New Year's weekend after you've already had four shows in December, three of which are going to be in Las Vegas. It's very perplexing. You'd think they would put someone in there that, you know, is willing to speak, you know, promote the fight. And Ben Rothwell, we've seen, you know, over the past year or so, he's evolved into, you know, this kind of a little bit of a cult favorite. He's got his, you know, his laugh after the win over, you know, his post-fight interviews. Just, he's got so much going for him right now. And for them to not capitalize on that is, like, seriously confusing to me.
I don't get it, man. I wish I could justify it. I can't. I don't get it. You know, obviously we talked to Ben Rothwell last night, both on record and off record. And, I mean, I don't think he just doesn't see any positives at all. Like, there's not a lot of alternatives out there. There's not a lot of options available for him.
There's not. And he did mention, you know, Josh Barnett, which would be, you know, a very good fight for him. That's a great matchup. I love that fight. But it seems Josh, you know, even talking to him, we were both in Japan for the card a couple weeks ago, and he didn't seem, you know, at all convinced about his next move. He, you know, according to Ben, he's got some movie things going on, which, you know, Josh does a lot outside the scenes. He's got other fighters that he trains, all this stuff going on, and it doesn't seem like the timing for that one's going to work out. To me, I didn't get the vibe that Josh Barnett is going to be wanting to fight by December, January, February at all. I don't really know what he does. You know, he seems very aware of the fact that if someone does get hurt, you know, they're going to fall out. And that is the upside that, you know, they're pretty much every heavyweight is booked. So, you know, we're sitting here, we mentioned, you know, right now 37 main or co-main event cancellations. I think most of those fights are main or co-main events. So you're telling me that one of those guys didn't get injured? I think, you know, just looking at how everything's played out, this could work out for Ben Rothwell because, you know, someone's probably going to get injured. Not that I wish it on anyone, not that he wants to wish it on anyone, but, you know, just the odds, it's probably going
to
happen.
You hate to wish it on anybody, but I really do feel like Ben Rothwell is deserving, man. The guy is, as you said, he's just doing all the right things. You know, even today, showing up at the media day, you know, just to talk to everybody. He's not required to at all. I just think the guy's doing all the right things.
No, he's going the extra mile, and it's unfortunate that, and you can tell, you know, even talking to him, his demeanor, like, he's just so many bottled up emotions. He looks like if he, you know, spills his beer on himself, he might just burst into tears and anger. Like, it's just, he's very fragile right now, has tons of emotions going on, and I feel for him. I would, you know, I'd be the same way. I think he's, you know, handling himself even better. He's walking, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, speaking out against the UFC and sharing your thoughts and, like, getting on their bad side and saying things that are going to be pissed off. And he's
got to speak out, but got to be careful.
Exactly. And he's walking that line perfectly, in my opinion. He hasn't said anything overboard or offensive. So I think, you know, just keep doing your thing and an opportunity is going to pop up for him. I really believe that.
Tried to buy him a shot last night. If you ever see Ben Rothwell in a bar, he does not drink whiskey. He does not drink bourbon. He doesn't drink any dark liquors. Basically, he said, you can buy me a beer. Or you can buy me vodka. Don't buy me any dark liquors. So just a little heads up for anybody. If you see Big Ben Rothwell in the bar, don't come up with him a shot of whiskey. It's not going to work out well for you.
Yeah, he's going to turn you down for sure.
Let me ask you one thing real quick. The card itself, any matchup in particular that you're looking forward to, whether it be a stylistic matchup? Obviously, you look at statistics and things like, I mean, whether it be a story you've heard, just a personality. Like, is there one fight on the card? Now that we're kind of – again, I don't mean to offend anybody, but now that we're kind of without a main event, we kind of got this just event. Is there one fight that's your personal main event that you're like, that's the one I'm looking most forward to?
Call Pendred, bro. No. realistically, you know, the Reza Madadi thing is very interesting. You know, you see a guy, his last fight, April 2013, he beat Michael Johnson, who, you know, I think on our MMA junkie rankings, we might have in the top five at worst, in the top 10. He got completely, you know, jobbed in his last fight. Michael Johnson's been absolutely killing it. He's fighting Nate Diaz, you know, in December. And Reza Madadi beat him pretty damn convincingly when they fought. And that was his last fight more than 2 years ago. You know, his story of, you know, having to go to jail and all that stuff, serve his time, is pretty well documented. And now he's coming back and, you know, fighting a guy in Norman Park, Ultimate Fighter winner. You know, had some rough luck of late, lost two in a row, but they were both by split decision. He could easily be, you know, 5-0-1 in the UFC right now if a couple of scorecards went his way. So this is a legit guy to come back to. And I'm very interested to see. They've been talking back and forth a lot on Twitter, some of it kind of like creepy, perverted type tweeting back and forth. It's kind of weird, like the level of trash talk they decided to go to, but whatever. I am looking forward to seeing that one, just to see what this guy can do, you know, being away from the sport for 2.5 years, being in jail, not getting to train, coming back. I believe he's 35 now, so it's just, you know, this guy doesn't seem like he's going to be like a top contender or anything. Maybe he will be, but it's just, it's an interesting story to follow nonetheless. Anyone coming off that amount of time to return to the UFC, it's very interesting.
I completely agree. I'm really looking forward to that fight a lot as well, for every reason that you mentioned. You know, just the question mark, excuse me, that surround it. You know, Reza is, first of all, I can't wait for the weigh-ins. Reza Madadi's weigh-ins, I mean, the guy is like the most intense dude ever. Like, you know what's going to happen, you know what I mean? He's gonna do his pose on the scale, and he's going to come get in somebody's face. And I love that. But he's the nicest guy. Like, he's the total opposite. Like, you see that guy, you're like, that dude's crazy. But then he'll like, hey, brother, I'll give you a big hug and talk to you, and I don't want to see that. And I was excited to find out today that he's had a documentary crew following him for the last 2 years, because I've really wanted to know more about this story, about what the hell happened to him. I mean, having to go to jail, this whole robbery
for
thing.
For stealing purses and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, what? Strange. Like, this makes, you know, and I understand he was friends with some not-so-great people, you know, in the world. And I don't know. So to know that he's had a documentary crew like following him for the past 2 years, they're looking for some Kickstarter money right now to help finish off the project. But I want to see it, man. I think they kind of lucked into something. They might have some awesome footage.
Yeah, definitely. That could, yeah, I'd like to see it finished as well. And I believe you said, you know, they were with him the day that he got out or all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he's you know, he's a very interesting character. It doesn't seem like, you know, he's a guy that's going to – his story isn't going to break traffic records on Junkie or
right.
anything like that. It's not going to, you know – to see his fight pass isn't going to add 100,000 new subscribers or anything. But, you know, this is what we're in this for. We look at the stories. We, you know, try to follow them. That's our job as journalists. And, you know, this is a legitimately interesting story on a card that's being absolutely decimated and doesn't really have, you know, much in the way of interesting, you know, fighters, interesting stories.
Yeah. Last question for you, Mike. What are you expecting on Saturday night? I know this is your first time in Dublin, so I just wonder what's in your head because, the first Dublin show, I was like, you know, everybody knew, dude, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You know, I ended up coming over here, and I remember on fight night thinking, I am so glad I'm in this building. Like, this is something I'm happy to witness. It's something special. It's something unique. But that was the first show. That was Conor McGregor. That was, you know, this is something different. So I wonder, you flying over here from Canada, you being here for your first time, what are your expectations? I know you can't predict. I mean, you don't know what to predict. But as far as, like, what's in your head, your expectations, are you tempering your enthusiasm a little bit? Are you thinking it's going to be a rowdy, just rambunctious crowd? Or what do you think?
I think you got to temper it a little bit. You know, I watched the last card live when it was happening, and you could see, you know, how crazy the crowd was. Been told by some media members, they said, you know, bring a cover for your laptop to put it over top because you're going to get beer tossed on you, like these kind of things. So, you know, we are in Ireland nonetheless. It's going to be, you know, Saturday night, fight nights. People are going to get – people that do show up, you know, they haven't refunded their tickets or whatever, whoever shows up at the house, they're going to be excitable. They're going to be happy, especially if their guys and girls win because Azing Daly's on the card. Yeah, so I'm not expecting, you know, the level of the first show because, like you said, Conor McGregor, it was the first event. It's like, you know, the shows they've had in Montreal, the card was absolutely amazing when George St. Pierre would fight, and then they go back and they have, you know, Anderson Silva, Tals Latisse in the main event, Chuck Liddell. The crowd is still very into it because they're watching MMA. If they're there, they probably, you know, are a fan of the sport on some level, whether hardcore or just casual. So they're going to enjoy the show. They're going to be excited about it. And that's kind of what I'm expecting. But, you know, I'm not anticipating the same reaction that, you know, you guys had last year for this card.
We'll see. I've got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping the Irish still show up. But we'll see. For all the reasons you say, like, I think, you know, we could be in, I don't want to say disappointment, but it could be just a, you know, a step down from what we had the first time around. So we'll see. Hopefully it's one of those sneaky cards. You know how it is, man. The cards that look amazing on paper end up sucking, and the cards that no one's even talking about end up being fun.
Exactly. And I said the same thing to Chamak Karsandu, who's one of our colleagues out here when we were shooting our preview for MMAJunkie.com, which will be up, you know, pretty soon on the site. I said, you know, hate to steal a Dana White quote or anything, but, like, at times you can't really judge a card, you know, until you see it. The fights can play out anyway. We could see the knockout of the year, the submission of the year, the fight of the year on Saturday. Anyone's capable of doing it. You never know what happens when these guys go in the octagon. And, you know, if you already paid your money, if you have your fights pass subscription for this month already paid for, why not tune in?
Completely agree. Well, the sun is almost down here at the Gibson Hotel. The lights are coming on in Dublin. The beer is getting empty, and so that obviously needs to be refilled. That is a problem. We need a couple more pints of Guinness, and I'm still craving some Cheeky Nando's, man. Hopefully, Cole Coffee gets done working over there so we can go grab some Cheeky Nando's.
I'm getting hungry. love your Nando's. It's not too big in Canada, but we have it there, but we'll see. I haven't had it. The last time I had it, I was with you, actually, in Vancouver before UFC 174 last summer, so we'll see. We'll see. You'll have to point me in the right direction.
That's right. That was Matt Hughes was.
Yes, Matt Hughes
had his first Cheeky Nando's as well.
Yes, he seemed pretty happy about it.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's finish these pints up and hopefully we'll get some food because I'm starving.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. We are still at the Gibson Hotel. We are not at Nando's yet, which is where I really want to go. I'm starving. I want my Cheeky Nando's. I'm hungry. But in the meantime, we're going to keep working because that's what we do. Chamak Karsandu, always a pleasure to see you, my man. We are in your home turf over here, at least your continent.
Absolutely.
How is Ireland treating you so far?
Listen, I can't complain. I do have a Guinness in hand, so that always helps. I'm a little bit upset that we're not actually recording this in Nando's, because I think if B-Dubs is good enough for Vegas, then surely Nando's should be good enough for the UK and Ireland.
Dude, I want some Nando's so bad, and we're going to record from there. I'm just waiting on Cole Coffee's over there. He's still working. He's still uploading. Abby Subban? 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 He's doing his work over there. The Junkie Crew is grinding, which is good to see, man. We're putting up a lot of content. Kind of a weird week, of course. You know, we've talked about the changes and everything that happened. Not definitely what we were expecting. I wanted to ask you first about something interesting that happened when we first got here, and that was the Conor McGregor Q&A.
Yeah.
There was a two-day Q&A session for charity that happened. The first was on Monday. The second session was scheduled to happen on Tuesday. I thought I'd be at the Tuesday session, but they canceled it. Kind of a weird deal. I saw you were retweeting some articles about it and that sort of thing. Give me your take on this whole situation, because it sounds like Conor was trying to do a good thing.
Yep.
Obviously, he's a huge superstar here in Dublin, was trying to help raise some money for charity. And then somehow the organization got out of hand. It wasn't done right. And there were some upset people, and they ended up scrapping one of the sessions, which is why we didn't go to it on Tuesday night. What's your take on this whole situation?
I just think this is one of the situations where Conor McGregor is a rock star, and for public appearances like the ones he was making this week, although they were for charity, there was a tiered ticket structure involved where if you bought a VIP ticket, you would get special access, maybe get a picture with him, something autographed, something along those lines. But you have to still think about the fact that there was a flood of people that are wanting to try and meet him, and maybe those VIP ticket holders just got stuck in the back of the line or back of the queue, and he only has so much time. You know, I mean, the fighters generally are notoriously known for, you know, spending a lot of time with the fans. That's one of the things that they've always been known for many, many years. And you obviously know, and I think everybody knows by now, that McGregor's time is getting chewed up left, right, and center. In between just trying to, you know, train for his fight with Jose Aldo, the media obligations are just ridiculous. Everybody wants a piece of him right now. He hasn't been back home in Ireland for so many months. He's literally spent the majority of the year in Vegas. So now that the UFC is in town and he's doing special events, you know, around that, you're going to get a lot of fans that want his time. And unfortunately, you know, some, you know, may have missed out on the opportunity. And, you know, you pay a certain premium price for a ticket. Yeah, of course, you're going to be disgruntled. It may come down to some poor management with whoever organized these public appearances and the logistics side of things. It's unfortunate. It is what it is. They canceled it. And maybe it could be a lesson learned by McGregor and his team, his management and camp, that if they ever do something like this in the future, that it's a little bit better organized.
I saw a lot of backlash. There was a cool story, too, where I guess somebody that did kind of lash out on him on social media, he hooked up with and brought him to the gym. I mean, it sounds like he wanted to make it right. But I do wonder, I mean, obviously you're an Englishman, not an Irishman, but is there any chance of a little bit of Conor fatigue? I just wonder, because as a website operator at MMA Junkie, I can tell you, anytime we can get a chance to put Conor McGregor's name in a headline, we're doing that. Anytime we can have a chance to write some content about Conor McGregor, we're going to do it. But I wonder, because I'm starting to see a little bit of backlash, I'm starting to see a little bit more haters. And I guess, you know, haters means that you've succeeded. That's where you want to be. But is there any chance at all that there's a little bit of Conor McGregor fatigue over here? Or because he's the European guy right now, he's the Irish guy right now, is it a situation where he can do no wrong?
That's a difficult question to answer. I don't really see the fatigue at the moment. I still think that he's still being quite fresh with his content, and every time there's an interview, he does his best to be unique in his delivery. And of course, we have the Ultimate Fighter show, which is kind of piggybacking on this ride until we get to the Aldo fight as well. This was the first time that we actually got a negative story surrounding Conor McGregor trying to do something good and positive, especially with his own people here in Ireland.
Right.
So I think that's the odd kind of oddball here in this Conor McGregor story so far, because everything up until now has pretty much been positive, 10 out of 10, 5 stars for everything that he's done. Everything he touches is gold, literally. So I don't think there's too much fatigue. I just think this is an isolated, unique situation. Just a little bit of poor mismanagement from whoever organized the charity event. But aside from that, I think it's a good thing that he's back home. And I think being out there in Vegas and just being stateside, the amount of media obligations he had to do, especially with the change-up just before the fight with Chad Mendes, I think being back home in Ireland, seeing some of his old friends, spending more time with his family, will give him the mental support, the emotional support I think everyone in his position requires and needs to be able to get through those bad days.
This card is totally different than what we thought we were going to see. It's not what we expected at all. The main, the co-main events, we lost within the last 2 weeks. It's a card kind of devoid of a big headliner now, just like a big thing that we can focus on. So let me ask you, let's start just from the English perspective. From the English perspective, what matters? What matters to the English fans? Is there anything that the English MMA fans are going to tune into on this card?
From my own personal perspective, and I think, and I hope, should I say, that the English MMA fans are really looking forward to this, it is Darren Till. The guy made an explosive debut in the UFC this year. Having spent some time with him earlier on today, it was just amazing. The guy has got a great mind for combat sports. He's very articulate. I could literally spend hours speaking to this guy. I literally was cut short because of the media workouts and the time limit that they give with, you know, six or so fighters per media scrum. But yeah, he's someone that is a very interesting character, got a really unique story in terms of, you know, being born and raised in Liverpool and then just upping, going to Brazil, and then literally has created his whole life there. He could literally be a Brazilian right now. Like, yeah. He spent so many years there.
His wife, fantastic Portuguese.
Absolutely, his wife's from there as well, if I'm not mistaken. He could even apply for citizenship. pretty soon, I think. So I'm really looking forward to his fight with Nicholas Dolby. That's going to be an amazing, amazing fight. Nicholas Dolby, obviously a former Cage Warriors champion, and Darren Till. He's so explosive. So I think I'm looking forward to that fight the most.
Is that the one you're looking forward to the most? I mean, and I wonder, and I don't mean just as a fight itself, because you're like me. You like good stories. You like good backgrounds. I know you were telling me earlier about Bubba Bush opening up to you. So I want you to share a little bit of that. But, you know, is there, for instance, I'm definitely looking forward to the John De Los Reyes fight. Why?
Sure.
Because he's a cook at Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, he's not anymore, sure. But he was. You know, he's a cook at Buffalo Wild Wings at Warm Springs in Durango in Las Vegas. I mean, you know, things like that. Sometimes you get these little personal ties, these little a great story or whatever. Is there any fight on the card that you're really looking forward to? And then if it's not Bubba Bush, maybe it is Bubba Bush. Tell us a little bit about Bubba Bush afterwards as well.
Well, Robert Whiteford, what a character. This guy, he was just dropping F-bombs left, right, and center. He definitely has that it factor, the X factor. He's got a very outlandish personality, and we saw a little bit of that after the Glasgow card. I'm looking forward to his fight with Darren Elkins. Obviously, Elkins, you know, a veteran of the sport. This will be a good test for Robert. Yep. To see how he comes through that. But yeah, speaking about Bubba Bush for a second, I actually ran into John Gooden, who is the European UFC broadcast commentator, and he was going to be calling the action with Dan Hardy on Saturday night. I ran into him in the hotel lobby early this morning during breakfast, and we were kind of just talking about some of the new faces on this particular card, and Bubba Bush was one of them. And he was able to give me a little bit of insight in regards to some of the production work he's been doing with the UFC. And he mentioned that Bubba Bush is dealing with and has been dealing with type 1 diabetes his entire life. And I had no idea about that. And
I actually,
yeah, and I spoke to Bubba about this. And it was very fascinating to learn how much goes into, obviously, just dealing with the condition A.
Yeah.
But being a pro MMA fighter, think about it. Think of what he needs to do in terms of nutrition, his diet, having his energy levels at the right point just to get through daily training regimen, but then also the weight cut. So that's a piece of content we're going to save, which we'll dropping on MMA Junkie soon. But I just thought it was fascinating, and he wants to be a spokesperson. He is currently the only UFC fighter, from my understanding and his understanding, that deals with type 1 diabetes. So that's a very, very cool and unique story that somebody I mean, I said to him, you know, this is something that you suffer from. And he said, no, I don't suffer from this. He took a very positive spin on the situation, which is very commendable and a great way of looking at things, a very optimistic person. He wants to be a spokesperson for professional athletes dealing with type 1 diabetes and just kind of getting the message out there that, hey, just because you suffer from diabetes doesn't mean you can't be a pro athlete one day. So very, very cool, inspirational story. And I'm looking forward to the Junkie Nation checking out that interview on the site.
That's good stuff, man. It is one of those cards. It's funny because there's nothing that really jumps out at you as a likely headliner, a real, you know. But I think there's a lot of cool little stories floating, under the radar a little bit. I think this could end up being a fun card. I think there's going to be some fun matchups on it, and I think there's some cool stories. The big question: Will we hear any Stevie Ray chants? I hope we're going to hear some Stevie Ray chants.
Well, I mean, we could do. It depends how many Glaswegians and Scottish fans are in the arena. But I've got a sneaky suspicion that it's going to be just 100% Irish. So we'll see what happens.
Hopefully they'll pick it up. Maybe they'll just – can somebody just educate them real quick?
Maybe. That's how chants start in soccer stadiums all across the UK. You know, there's maybe 10 or so fans in the arena that'll start it. And the next thing you know, you have 10,000 fans just, you know, in unison chanting the exact same
thing.
We
just need 10 people or so to say Stevie fucking Ray, and then we're good to go, right?
Absolutely. But I think maybe, you know, we'll see that. But I just want to touch on one thing. I'm an optimist, John. I always like to see the glass half full rather than half empty, right? And I just think that it's due to unfortunate circumstances. I just think it's fascinating that 15 months ago, Paddy Holohan was opening the Dublin show. And here we are, just 15 months later, the UFC's return to Dublin in 2015. He is the man of the people. He's the guy that's stuck around in Ireland. He hasn't gone to Vegas like Conor McGregor or anywhere else, or TriStar like Duffy. He's stuck around here. He still walks the streets, says hi to all the locals. He really is a man of the people. And speaking to some of the Irish fans this week, they were more looking forward to him than Duffy. And I just think it's fascinating that he's going to be headlining this card. Again, it's due to unfortunate circumstances, but I just think that's a fantastic story. And can you imagine if he pulls off the win, the place is going to go absolutely mental. And again, it's going to still produce another superstar and in a weight class that needs characters and superstars.
It's true. Yeah, it's funny. You were the media day today, as we're sitting here at the Gibson Hotel looking over the 3 Arena, you were busy doing everything, basically, and I posted up. Being the luxury of actually having a team working was fantastic, but I actually sat in front of Paddy for his entire, it's about 35 minutes or so, and the guy was, like, inspiring, man. I've been saying that. I mean, obviously, you shot me earlier for our media picks, and I touched on it a little bit there, but it's just – like I do think Smolka's a little bit more well-rounded fighter. I do think, you know, I picked him coming in, and I'm going to stick with that pick. But as I said to you, man, just seeing the emotion that Paddy had, just seeing the intensity, the drive in him, it's like, whoa, this dude is not just showing up for another fight. Like, you know, oh, what's it like being in the main event? Oh, it's nice. Is there more pressure? No, this guy's like, I'm in this main event because it is my destiny. It is what I was supposed to do. I'm a war. I mean, I don't know. Like, I wanted to, like, do some push-ups or something. Like, just get physical all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like, I was just inspired by this guy. I wanted to be Irish, start waving my Irish flag or something. It was so cool. And, man, to think about how intense this building was for his fight, the first fight of the night last year, mm-hmm. and now it's the main event. Holy cow. I mean, this could be it's not going to be Conor McGregor-esque, but it might be pretty damn close.
Yeah, it could be his coming out party, but understandably so. Lewis Smolka, no joke, and very, very tough opponent for him. But yeah, I mean, again, if he is able to pull off the win, just hearing you talk about the media scrum, I haven't seen it yet, but just hearing you talk about the energy and the passion and the motivation he gave you, the inspiration involved in his story. Like I said, I think every cloud has a silver lining, and I think that could be one of the big takeaways from this card when it wraps up on Saturday night.
I'm going to ask you an off-the-wall question. We've been focusing on Dublin a lot, but a little piece of news this past week that got overshadowed by this card falling apart. But the Association of Boxing Commissions, the ABC in the United States, is going to be looking at rule changes, potential rule changes to mixed martial arts. They're forming a committee. They're going to study things, the 12 to 6 elbows, the grounded up. I mean, they're going to look at a lot of things. So it brings up the fun question. I know you like to ask fun questions to people, ask them what they would change. I know a big one of yours, if you're running the UFC, what would you do? So let me ask you, if you could change one rule in MMA, nobody has to review it, nobody asks that, it's why, whatever, you can change one rule. What is it?
I think it'd have to be the 12-6 elbow. Yeah. And the main reason I bring that up is if that rule was changed many, many years ago, we'd be talking about John Jones as an undefeated fighter. So if you're going to put me in the spot and just say, can you just pick one rule that you want to change, that's the one that comes to mind straight away.
How unfortunate is that? The Steve Mazzagatti decided to, I mean, nobody ever stops a fight for that reason. You know what I mean? Nobody ever calls that foul. And he calls it that night, and John Jones ends up being John Jones.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Like I said, the UFC should and could have been promoting him for many, many years already as an undefeated fighter. When the history books are written, we should all be talking about him as an undefeated fighter if he continues on this path that he's already started. But to have a loss for those under that circumstance, it just doesn't feel right, look right. And if you're a casual fan or if you're a new fan of the sport and you see John Jones' record, you look at that loss, it might kind of say, "Oh well, actually, you know how some fans are. If you're not Mayweather, if you're not 49 and 0, that 0 means so much to people, and it means so much to certain group of fans.
Yeah.
Right? A clean record, right? And it's unfortunate. Like, we all know the story. If you're a hardcore fan, you know what's up. You know what's really going on. But it's unfortunate that John has to carry that one around him for the rest of his life and professional career.
It is rough. Mine would be knees to the head of a grounded opponent. Okay. At that position, when guys end up stalling or, you know, kind of stalling in that kneeling position, I'm not a big fan of that. I never, you know, people say, I like pride rules. Pride rules are awesome. I never want to see soccer kicks. I'm not soccer kicks to the head. Don't get me wrong. They were incredible to watch. I mean, watching Shogun just, like, boot somebody's dome off is insane. But I guess maybe it's because I'm a little older now or something. I don't want to see that. I don't think we should have that. The stomps to the head of a grounded opponent, you know. I don't think we should have that. But I think knees to the head of a grounded opponent. So we're in that kind of north-south position, and they're kind of stalling on their knees. I think that would change the game a little bit.
I think the main takeaway from this question is that there isn't any right or wrong answer. I think there are some rules that need to be modified and changed. And I'm happy that, you know, this body is hopefully going to have the discussion. And hopefully, you know, as the sport continues to grow, we'll fine-tune some of the rules and regulations in place, which will keep the sport fair, but make it exciting to cover and watch as well.
I agree. Well, I'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. What's right is Nando's chicken. What's wrong is the fact that we don't have any yet.
Hell
so.
Yeah.
I am starving. I'm looking at cold coffee. I'm looking at Abby Subban. And it looks like they're trying to finish up. We should finish up these Guinness here.
Of course.
And hopefully they'll get the uploads done, and we can go have some Nando's, some cheeky Nando's, because I'm starving.
Cheeky Nando's for what is undoubtedly the biggest junkie team ever assembled to cover a European event. There are six of us. Let me just say that again. Six of us on site. We've got three members of the European team.
That's insane.
In myself, Abby, and the newest member of the team, Per, who is now the official junkie photographer for the European events. We've obviously got John Morgan here. We've got Kenny here. We've got Mike Bond from Canada. Listen, there are some outlets that aren't even here covering this event and covering this card, and there are six members of the junkie team covering it. That's what's up.
It's obscene, dude. It's obscene. I'm glad you mentioned it. I hadn't mentioned that, but it's so cool to see. I actually, as I told you guys yesterday, I took a picture, put it on Instagram, I actually sent the text to Dan as well, to Dan Stubb. It's just of taking a picture of the five of you guys working. I'm like, look at this. We got a team. We got a squad, man. It's cool to see Junkie coming up, and I appreciate you pointing that out, because it is pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It just makes it more fun. Who knows? One day, maybe it would be five, six guys covering the sport around the world, because you know what? It's a lot of fun. The more members of the team that are on site, it's good to catch up, and it has a little camaraderie, and it makes being on the road so much more enjoyable.
No doubt, man. Well, you guys have been crushing it over in Europe, so thank you for doing that, and obviously thank you for the time. And now let's drink this beer, Frosty Adult Beverage.
Let's get some cheeky Nando's.
Let's get some cheeky Nando's. Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. As this night continues to carry on, we're still without Cheeky Nando's, which is a very big problem that I hope we're going to rectify very shortly. But in the meantime, Abby Subban is here, the reluctant guest of the podcast. You see his name on the bylines. I probably talk to Abby, honestly, as much as anybody else on the staff. We work together every day on the comeback videos. We talk a lot on WhatsApp, and but don't get to see you all that often. And now we're here. We're still sitting at the Gibson Hotel. A fine view. The Three Arena, just as the sun is down at this point. It's nighttime. We've got a couple of pints of Guinness in the hand. Slanche, got to do that. How you doing, my man?
All good, bro. All good. As usual, just fighting with the Wi-Fi problems that we normally have. Trying to upload something for Mr. Ken Hathaway. Seems to be going all right.
Second appearance on the podcast after a very drunken Glasgow night in Scotland. A night that, honestly, if you're a new listener to the show, don't ever go listen to that episode because we were about as drunk as is legally allowed under any circumstances, even though we were having a house party. We were doing a podcast. We were having a house party. We had people inside of our apartment that we had no idea who they were. It was probably not the most intelligent decision any of us have ever made.
I guess this is my chance at redemption of some sort because I'm ashamed of my appearance on the last one.
I'm ashamed of my appearance. It's my damn show and I was ashamed of my appearance. You shouldn't feel bad at all.
No, I sent it to a colleague of mine at work. She's a dear friend and she's a big supporter of what we do here. And I sent her the and she was like, seriously? What the hell was that? And I was like, don't worry. I'm going to see John again in Dublin, and I'll make up to you. I promise I won't be drunk.
That's hilarious. Well, obviously you do a ton of video work for us in addition to your full-time responsibilities, but I want to talk to you about a little bit of that. We'll talk about this card here in Dublin as well. But want to get your take, first of all, on talk about the Michael Venom Page documentary. You guys have launched it. If you didn't see episode number one, you need to see that on MMA Junkie. Episode number two will be dropping very soon. But just talk to me about why you guys wanted to do this because, I mean, you guys pitched it to us. You and Sandu said, listen, here's what we want to do. And I thought it was a great idea, but I'm like, man, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this off, man. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of time. But you guys have kind of embedded yourselves with Michael Venom Page and put together a fantastic first episode. Again, the second episode is coming soon. What was the motivation? Why?
All right. Let me try and articulate myself better than I did on the Glasgow edition. When it comes to UK talent, it's pretty much drying up. I mean, the stars of yesteryear are winding down. Like Michael Bisping's at the end of his career. Brad Pickett was talking about retirement recently, so we're looking for that next big star. We've got a few floating around. It's just that Michael Venom Page seems to have that it factor. He just lives down the road for me. You know, I've got
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got a good relationship with him and Sir Sandu. And we just said, hey, bro, we can see that you're on the verge of something. Why can't we document it? And he was like, okay. And, you know, we struck this deal over a Cheeky Nando's.
No.
Yeah, for real, bro. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we started filming. It took a couple of months. The first episode took a couple of months to the point where, you know, my duties with Junkie was overlapping. And I just, we had to bring on an additional editor. Shout out to Tom Ransom, who always listens. I didn't shout him out on the last one, but he knows why I was drunk. Yeah,
we were all very drunk.
So yeah, we've been working on this one. I think episode two just wrapped. We're just gonna go into edit now. We've got our guy, our junkie guy, in at Bellator 144 right now. Just like, you know, just collecting additional B-roll for us and additional. We're gonna get a pre-fight and post-fight interview.
Yeah.
So just slot those bits in, and I think hopefully a December release for episode
cool.
two.
Very cool. What have you, is there anything that you've learned about Michael? Anything that you've come to understand about him that maybe you didn't know before you started this process? Because, I mean, as you said, the guy, he's got that it factor, man. There's something like, You know, I did a quick little clip in episode number one, and I stand by what I said. It's just like, you don't have to know shit about fighting to watch that guy and go,
no,
whoa,
man,
that dude has got something. You know what I'm saying? But what have you learned? I mean, in this process?
That he's the most humble guy I've ever met in terms of a fighter. You know, there's an ego. You see the ego in the ring. You see in the cage. You see a persona. But when you speak to him, he's the most humble guy ever. You know, I've visited him at the gym, and like, he's like the go-to guy. People go to him for advice. He's just happy to take time out of anything he's doing to give you what you need. He's just one of the nicest guys I've met, and I just want to document this rise. I know it's going to be something big. There's something special about that guy.
You think he stays? I mean, can he follow this whole ride in Bellator? Do you think he has to come over to the UFC someday?
Deep down inside, I know I've had this conversation with Mike. He thinks that he has said that he's going to build his brand with Bellator. But, you know, in my mind, when I'm talking to him, I can see I want him to be in the UFC eventually. But, like, he's like he says, the mixture's there. He's in the oven. He's cooking up. And when he's ready, he'll be there.
It's weird because, I mean, the thing is, like, the thing about Bellator that is fun, it's kind of like Strikeforce back in the day, that you can kind of matchmake him and just have fun with the matchmaking. You know, in the UFC, everybody expects one to face two, three to face four, five to face six, or whatever. Whereas, like, MVP, I don't think you really, I mean, not to take away from him, but I mean, I think if you put him up against a D1 wrestler or an Olympic wrestler, like, they're just going to, like, I don't care, I'm going to shoot in on you. Mm. And they would win the fight, but it's just so damn fun to watch them fight, man, that if you can put them against guys that'll try to strike with them or that'll have some fun with them, like, I want to see that.
You see that thing he does where he sticks his hands up in the air? That's the sign of the cobra.
Yeah.
He says he's the snake charmer. He'll hypnotize you with his hands. You've seen it. You've seen people just follow in his hands, and before you know it, they're out. He's knocked them out with the other hand. There's something special about this guy, and I'm just excited to document it. And what better platform than MMA Junkie?
Very cool, man. You guys have done a fantastic job. I can't wait to see the second episode, man. It's fun for me because I get to see it before it comes out. So it's fun for me. You know, I enjoyed the first episode. Let me ask you too about you guys did a trip to Amsterdam not that long ago.
Yeah.
Let's peel back the curtain a little bit. Let people know what's coming. What did you guys do in Amsterdam?
Okay, we just recently. Yeah, we went out to Amsterdam. We did a little. I don't know how we're gonna bring it out yet. I mean, we've got a whole load of footage with the last woman to beat Ronda Rousey, Miss Edith Bosch. I don't know if I've said that right, but that's how she said it, and she kind of said it. Or I don't know. I was in Amsterdam and I was
you
happy.
You may have had it.
I was happy. I was
for whatever reason, you were extremely relaxed.
I just like it there, so it was, you know. but yeah, so. We spent a day with her. She was so accommodating. I mean, the person that you see in that, if you, there's a YouTube video out there, Ronda Rousey versus Edith Bosch, that Olympic match, she talks about it in her book. I was expecting to see that lady with that huge neck and short hair, and she's and I met this when we knocked on the door, there was this beautiful woman there, and she was just so accommodating. She had she had everything out ready for us to film B-roll, like, you know, she had pictures of her Olympic, she had these special pictures of her and Ronda Rousey that no one's gonna have those, so we've got those specially ready for the B-roll.
Very
so you
cool.
Guys are gonna see that. It's beautiful. And I think we've got a really cool piece, man. We've got a really cool piece, and she talks at length. We make her watch the fight and tell us about it, and we read excerpts from Ronda's book where she's talking about the fight, and especially the bit where Ronda says that this bitch punched me in the face three times, and you're not supposed to do that, obviously, it's judo. But Edith watched the fight, and she saw the three jabs to the face, and she goes, yeah. I did punch her in the face. It was hilarious. But her reactions to the way Ronda was talking about her, Ronda made her out to be some big monster.
That's what I was going to ask you, because it's obvious. I don't want to say it's obvious, but it seems to me in reading the book that Ronda has some ill feelings.
Oh yeah,
her.
The way
what's
I
her
see
feelings towards Ronda.
Yeah, the way I see it is that Ronda, you know, it's funny how you can affect someone in life. You know, say you did something to me and that affects me for the rest of my life. I think Edith done that to Ronda, whereas when you talk to Edith about Ronda, she's like, to me, Ronda was nothing. She was just an opponent. I didn't have that impact. She didn't have that impact on me, whereas I had that impact on her. It was amazing. Man, I'm excited for that to come out on Junkie, and that's coming soon. We're putting that together. As you can see, man, I've developed like repetitive strain injury on my arm and my shoulder. I just can't move anymore because I'm constantly editing. But I love it, man. There's nothing else I'd rather do.
That's awesome, man. You guys have been doing some good stuff. Well, let's talk briefly about this card. Big changes, of course, as we've been saying over and over tonight. Main event gone, co-main event gone. But with what's left, is there any fight that you're, and I'm asking everybody about this, what fight you're looking forward to the most, and not necessarily the fight that you think is going to be fight of the night, but it's just, you know, as I said, John De Los Reyes cooked at Buffalo Wild Wings, so, you know, that's my guy, you know what I mean? So, you know, little things. Reza Madadi, I'm looking forward to Reza. It's just got this question mark. So, I mean, I don't know. Is there one that stands out to you where you're like, I'm looking forward to this one?
Going back to, talking about John De Los Reyes, as soon as I saw him, I mean, I would run up to you before he came out. I was like, does this guy speak English? And you're like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, 100% he does. So when he came out, I looked at him and I was like, this guy's Filipino. Yeah. I'm half Filipino.
That's
so
right.
I knew straight away this guy's Filipino. So I go up to him and I say, Pinoy? And he was like, I was born in Guam, but my family's Filipino. You're Filipino, bro. That's what I said to him. He goes, yeah, I'm Filipino. Okay, all right. I know, look, I've got family in Guam as well, but... he was a really nice guy, but in terms of fights that I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to the Mad Dog, man. I'm looking forward to the return of the Mad Dog. Another fight that we could have lost on the card because Norman Park was going to be paired up, you know, step in and save the main event, but the fight wasn't accepted. So we're going to see Reza return, and I'm looking forward to that. That guy's focused. He's just. Didn't really want to talk on media day. He just wants to talk about his fight, if anything. He didn't want to talk about these mashup questions that we normally come with.
I saw that, yeah. I saw some of the footage where he was just like, why are you bothering me with
this?
Yeah,
man. Dude? Yeah. I like him. We didn't get to catch up with him when we went out to Stockholm to catch up with Gus and Makwan. But Makwan spoke very highly. Everyone speaks so highly of him. So... upon meeting him today, you could see he's got this presence, and I just can't wait to see him. I mean, his last fight was with, was it Michael Johnson, yeah?
Yeah.
2 years ago? And he beat Johnson, and you know where Johnson is now, so.
Did he want to talk about what happened, or did you kind of get the idea that, like, he just wants it to go away?
That's in the past, man. He gets frustrated about that, those kinds of things. I mean, I walked into the media room. I think he was doing an interview with a Swedish media outlet on the phone. And he was just saying, I don't want to talk about this. It's in the past. I mean, it is what it is. We all make stupid mistakes, but I still want to know. I'm pretty sure off the records, man, we'll take him to a cheeky Nando's tomorrow after weigh-ins.
I'm telling you, I want to know. Rez has always been super nice to me. As I was saying earlier, as intense of a dude as he is, and as an angry of a guy as he seems to be, he's always been super nice to me, but I just want to know, like, what the hell happened? Did you really do this or not? Or did you just get – because as I understand, he's got some associates that are, you know, not necessarily the finest of individuals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just get tied up in some stuff that he wasn't a part of. And, you know, what was his time like? And, I mean, obviously the UFC must – I mean, for the UFC to bring him back, they must feel okay with whatever went down. And I don't know, man. Every time I've talked to him, whether it be on record or off record – it's just like you said. He's just like, that's in the past. I don't want to talk about it. So I'm hoping somebody, whether it's us or somebody else, and as I mentioned earlier, there's a documentary crew that followed him around. Hopefully they did. Somebody got this story.
But I think what it is, this Kickstarter project that they've got, you know, if they need an editor, just holler at me, man. but yeah, I saw Thomas and Manos, Mano Management, the guys that manage these the All-Star guys floating around, and they said they want to come with us to Nando's. Maybe we can get some info about what happened to Reza back then. Like, you know, we'll see. They're floating around
it's
somewhere.
It's time for some cheeky Nando's. That's what it boils down to. First of all, Abby, much better second time around. I think – I know I'm more sober than last time. So
you know, you always say, man, I get nervous about these things, but it's getting easier. And, man, I speak to you every day. This is just like shooting the shit with you, bro.
That's it, man. That's all I ever wanted this to be, dude, is just sitting down having a cocktail. Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. We are wrapping things up, and let me just say, things have changed dramatically in the time that we last spoke, because now we are actually at Cheeky Nando's, and not only are we at Cheeky Nando's, but an entire just buffet of food is sitting in front of us that has been, it's been consumed. We'll just say we're not shy fellows about what we put down, and my man Cole Coffey, who has been grinding away all night, is actually with me now.
Barely with you. I wasn't sure if you were going to let people know that I did almost fall asleep at the table. Or did it qualify as I did fall asleep?
You did fall asleep. You didn't almost fall asleep. I mean, I know you like to think you almost fell asleep. You did fall asleep.
Thank you.
You did fall asleep. But fortunately, things are good now. We've got Brahma beers being delivered by the young gentleman over there who's wearing a tag that says Woody. There's no way his name is actually Woody, right? Like, that's not...
Probably not.
I was noticing because the name tag is made out of wood. Like, maybe he's like trying to be clever about it. Like, oh, I'm Woody. Or he has a Woody. Or I don't know. His name's not Woody, right?
If he does, I certainly hope he stays on that side of the counter. But it's nice. Brahma, man. That's what we usually drink in Brazil.
That's right, right? This is like Brazil. This is like a Brazilian MMA Roadshow edition right here. Good stuff.
Eating chicken in Ireland. Gotta love it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, listen, you have been grinding all day, but let me just ask. How's Dublin treating you? You were one of the people that was here for last year, the debut Ireland event, which was just so incredible. I mean, so memorable. This one has a lot of different feel. All the changes and felt a little bit, I mean, deflated sounds rough. I mean, it's just the energy at the media day. I feel like everybody's just kind of a little bit disappointed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, even when I came over with the UFC last time, I felt like I had more time to go out and do stuff than what we're doing now. And I think it's because, you know, with the nature of what we do, where we're chasing the news or we're following the news, you know, of course, when everything breaks and everything stops, you know, we have to jump ship and, you know, kind of do that. It's where it's like our night became incredibly long, you know, but you know, I love coming over here. I like the weather. You know, it was nice when we first got here to kind of take a little stroll, you know, crossed over and went through the little, I don't think it was quite the Temple Bar area, but over in that area, and had a nice moment to myself where I had that first Guinness, you know, and sit there. And of course I took a selfie of it, you know, and all that good stuff. You know, I love coming over here, but you know, as for this, to, you know, to talk Fight Week stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think it's been interesting, and the moods kind of changed as fights changed and everything went around. But, you know, we work hard. We play hard. You know, we make the most of, you know, what we do. So, but, you know, I always enjoy coming over here.
For sure, for sure. I want to paint the picture for everybody because this is insane. I don't think people would understand this. Well, first of all, my wife's down there giving me the evil eye. Let's just say that first.
I know. Why'd we bring her
on?
She's
hating life. She's like,
throwing
you've been working. Stop. What the hell are you doing? My wife is down there. We're at Nando's. We're checking out. We're sitting next to the window here, and we're checking out on the street. But the MMA Junkie team, look at the crew. This is insane. I mean,
it's a bunch of fucking bunch of ruffians.
This many people to
bunch
all
of ruffians.
Well, and Simon. And Simon, who I've bought so many goddamn meals for at this point, probably should be writing for us. Simon Head owes MMA Junkie a byline or two after all the dinners that we've bought him over time. So
I agree.
The MMA Junkie crew. Simon Head, who owes us some stories, and my wife, who looks like she wants to kill me right now.
Well, it's neat. You know, I think it shows the spread. You know, when you the spread of how far Junkie Nation reaches and the Junkie crew. So it's unique to kind of always, you know, get to really work and see guys that normally we just talk online and do whatever. So any chance to kind of get to hang out with, you know, Sandu, the serious Nando's baller. You know, we got, you know, Tupac over here and Abby Suban. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing because that's what they're saying at lunch, but or dinner. But you know, it's wonderful to see it, and it is, you're right, to kind of look around and see the guys that you're working long, long hours. I mean, there's nothing better than if you're going to be stuck in some room for 10 to 12 to 14 hours. You want to enjoy the people that you're working with. And I think we've been lucky enough to have people that qualify as people that
for
are
sure.
good people. You know, even though they look like a bunch of ruffians and, You know, you got to love it. You know, it makes it easier, makes it fun to kind of do these things.
No doubt. So here's what I've been asking everybody. This is an event that lost its main event, lost its co-main event. I've been asking everybody, what are you looking forward to? Because there is no big fight anymore. There's not one fight that everybody's talking about anymore. Now it's just like, well, I like this guy. I like that guy. And as I was saying, there's so many different stories. I mean, you got Reza Madadi coming back from the jailing and all that he's been through. John De Los Reyes, the Buffalo Wild Wings cook, is fighting on this card. I mean, there's just stories here and there, and I know that sometimes we look at fights and we're like, I can't wait to see that fight because these are two great athletes. Other times we're just like, I love the story or this guy is cool or whatever. So I got to ask for you, is there any fight on the card that you're thinking, I'm looking forward to that one?
You know, I would be lying if I said, you know, any particular one is jumping out. But I do, you know, even I think just some of the ones you touched on, I think Reza Madadi, to see him, just even just walking around and fight week, you know, I love seeing fighters when, you know, they're not in fight mode a lot of times when you get to see him kind of be themselves. And he was one of the ones that came up, I think, when we were walking down the hallway and was just like, hey, what's up? You know, and he has that personality that is just so infectious that, you know, and I love watching
him
fight
as well. For
being such
an angry dude, he's a great dude. Him and Norman Park should be a fun fight.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, but nothing really. I mean, I think this card, I don't want to call this card cursed because I feel like, you know, everything comes in thirds and I'm waiting still for, like, what's going to drop tomorrow, what's going to happen, you know. So I've mentally have separated myself from this card so much that because it's just something, it's been such a toss-up, you know. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, if anything, to experience the crowd. You know, as for the fights, you know, I think the fights will happen, will be good. But being in an arena where it's so loud and it's deafening is so unique to a lot of what we deal with in the U.S. We don't get it. You know, I went to a football game last weekend with 108,000 people, and it didn't sound anything like 10,000 Irishmen are going to sound like, you know, on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to just being in an environment like that because I think they're so passionate about the sports. It's amazing that you could put two little dogs up there fighting and they're going to go fucking mad crazy. And
I agree. It's part of the draw. It's like the crowd is one of the stars when you come to Ireland. It's like the crowd is one of the stars. And I will say that as manly of an event as you did, I believe you went to an Ohio State University game.
I also
did something pretty manly. I went to a Taylor Swift concert. So
you know what? I was a little jelly. I was a little jealous. I saw the pictures, you know, and I know that was from your phone, so I know you were taking pictures, you know, of Taylor Swift. But, no, I mean, that, you know, I it's so funny because I actually showed the picture because I had to wait in a 20 to 30-minute line to get to the restroom, and I saw the picture you put up where there was absolutely nobody.
A men's room with nobody in it, dude.
I've never been jealous of a shot of
an empty men's room at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I'll tell you a little story. I'm gonna share this real quick, and then since my wife's going to kill me, we have to get out of here. But it was two takes to get that picture because what happened was I went to the bathroom once, and I walked in, and there was, like, one other guy in there. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy. Like, we're at AT&T Stadium. There's one other dude in the men's room. So I walked out. I got another beer. So I decided next time, I'm like, you know what, man? I bet there's going to be nobody in there. I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to take a picture. Because I think this would be, like, really funny for Instagram or whatever. So I walk in. I had my camera in my hand, like, ready to take a picture. And I walk in. There's, like, six dudes peeing. And I was like, okay, I'll put this up right away. Like, they basically turned around and saw me trying to take a picture of them peeing. And I was like, I'm totally not a creep. That's not me at all.
Wow.
That's not me.
Getting arrested for taking a picture in the restroom at a Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Not only do I have 10,000 pictures of dudes in their underwear on my hard drive from all the weigh-in shots that I take.
Yeah.
Then I was going to have a picture of dudes peeing in there.
Wow. Yeah. I was even going to remark. I was like, when I saw your picture, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to attempt that. I was like, I don't even want to pull the camera. I even feel awkward. You know, we're such a social media, such a connected thing that, I mean, who hasn't, when you're using the restroom, pulled out their phone and start doing it? But next thing you know, you get the guy that looks over. He's kind of like, what the fuck?
What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing? You know, it's like, nothing. But I'm always afraid I'm going to drop it in the urinal, but I do it every time I go. I'm always like, what's going on right now? Like that 30 seconds I can't stop, you know, or whatever.
You're peeing? You got to do...
Yeah, well, like not every, but if you're sit there, like if you're gonna be there for a while,
if you're sitting down, that's a different story.
Oh, that's a guaranteed.
You're connected, dog.
I'm connected. I'm a little over connected. I should probably have an intervention or something, but you know,
and that's how we'll wrap things up this evening because that's the way we do it. You know, you hear a lot of MMA, and then we just talk about what we're doing while we're peeing.
You know,
because you probably wanted to know that. I'm sure everybody listening was like, I wonder what. Co-copying but I guarantee Morgan Dew while they're peeing.
I guarantee I'm not the only one. Somebody out there is going to be like, yeah, I do that too. I've done it. I don't do it every time, but, you know. I'm just saying, you don't want to sit next to me in the stall. You might think I'm taking a picture of your junk. I'm not. I promise. I'm just checking Facebook.
All right. Well, with all that said, I think there are we've got a couple of brahmas here to finish up. We definitely don't need any more food. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
But a couple more brahmas. I bet we could find a Guinness somewhere around here. I think we're going to meet up with some of the crew and maybe explore Dublin a little bit.
I'm down. Let's do it.
That's awesome. Well, listen, it's been a lot of fun. Didn't have any fighters on this week, but had a lot of fun talking to the MMA Junkie team. It's fantastic to see all this crew all working together in unison and hopefully bringing everybody the best coverage of this fight night event in Dublin on the internet. So, listen, you know where you can do us. If you're MMAroadshow.com, you can download us there. Definitely go to iTunes, rate us, review us, do all that good stuff.
Get
Instagram,
us on Twitter.
What else are you doing? MySpace?
Nah. I should, though. Maybe
LinkedIn?
Make a bring back MySpace.
LinkedIn? Are you doing that?
I'm doing it, but I don't.
GeoCities? Like, are you it? Like GeoCities or something?
What the fuck is GeoCities?
I don't know.
Please follow us. We read the reviews. We love it. You know, feel free to chime in. You know, feel free that if you also
hit us up
check
on
your phone in
what
the
about
restaurant.
Our man Will? What about our man Will from Scotland?
Oh, dude, that was
who
baller
was buying
move.
His cocktails last night at the bar.
Yeah.
At the
shout
Gibson
out to
Hotel
Will.
In Ireland.
Thank you very much, Will. That was awesome.
Bro.
That was he went hard. He gets a roadshow badge because he was legit.
Last man standing.
Closing the bar down.
Last man standing. Yep. It was us, Ben Rothwell, and Will.
Yep. We took the long route to go to the restroom just to thank Will for giving the
just
drinks.
Just thank Will. Will's a beast. That's what's up. So if you can show up and you can buy us a beer, I promise you we'll drink it. We'll never be offended.
Never.
We'll never be upset.
Never. We'll walk the long way to come visit.
Yeah, Will, just so you know, when you're listening to this, there was a bathroom way closer to us.
Yep. It was
and
it
we
was
went
like
to the other bathroom
least half
way further
close.
Away so we could come say what's up to you.
Yep. What's up, Will?
That's how we do. That's how we do. All right. I got to get my angry wife out of here because she's going to kill me. I got to get the whole MMA Junkie team out of here. And just let me say more than anything to everybody. Thank you for listening. He wants to be more drunk. That's not enough. I had enough alcohol for the podcast yet. You hear me okay?
I can't hear you.
Probably want to pull one of your back because I don't have the
oh, right.
There you
okay.
Go. Yeah. I didn't bring the full mixer. It's just straight into this.
Can you can hear me? Yeah?
I can hear you.
Oh, good.
As a normal person, just talking right here.
Let's just have this conversation then.
Guinness going down good? Doing all right?
Yeah.
It's good. Got decent weather. Just hungry. Just want some Nando's. I want some Nando's.
I can't hear you.
Put one back.
Oh.
I didn't bring my full mixer, so you'll just be able to. So you just have to hear me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Can you hear me now? All right, perfect. All right, you good?
Let me
do one. Zuban. Good? All right. All right, make sure. Yeah, you probably want to pull back the other. Or you can actually switch the thing the other way. Just like lift it over. Pull it the other way. There you go.
There we go. You hear me?
Good.
Are you
good.
You
let me see.
Me good?
Talk.
1 2. Check. 1 2.
Pull
1 2.
Pull a little closer. Because it's bendable.
1 2. Check. 1 2.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. You good?
All right. Let's do it.
All right. You good?
Yeah. Sucks not having a fucking beer.
Oh, they're bringing them.
I know, but not right now.
Can I say something? Can I say something so like it's cool and then the music drops?
For sure.
All right. What's the comeback, guys?
Perfect.